Ancient Celtic women were renowned for being warriors and rulers. It's been said that their courage rivaled that of men. One writer goes so far as to say that one Gaul could withstand a whole band of foreigners if he called for his much stronger wife to join the fight. And you know, in modern day Ireland, has anything really changed? Here's Heather Walsh.
Women naturally have power over men. Isn't that right, Ger?
Yeah, sorry.
That's what you're supposed to say. Well, thank you. Thank
you. Sorry, Heather.
That's okay. But what are the genuine female...
I'm just stunned. What I'm discovering here is my inability to resist what you've just said.
That's my natural power over you.
Yes.
You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and this is episode 3 of our 4-part series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. So far, we've looked at some of the unique gender differences that are hardwired in us. Not only physical appearance, but even our brain chemistry is quite different, and as we've stressed, different doesn't mean unequal. It's probably safe to say that there's lots of fellas who struggle with finding their feet. They come up with all sorts of examples to follow and ways to cope. Most would struggle quietly with their doubts and fears. Others overcompensate and do outrageous things to prove that they're a man. Girls, too, have their own set of struggles on the way to genuine womanhood. Today, our own Heather Walsh, Stephen Cardy and Ger Shanahan welcome Marie Doherty to our round table discussion. Marie is an early childhood specialist with Early Childhood Ireland. The team will discuss what we as parents and caregivers can do to help our boys and girls become confident and secure men and women. Here's Ger.
To start with then, what do we need to know about boys in the whole process of parenting?
In relation to a boy, Ger, sex and gender difference is natural. It's deeply rooted and it's very real, both in ourselves and in human culture. And boys certainly need to learn what boys are, because their destiny is a healthy boyhood that leads on to a healthy manhood. And if you forget everything else you learn about males in the course of the conversations that we're having, you should remember this one. A boy is a young male on the way to manhood. And a culture of good manhood is shaped, or not, by parents.
Yes. I suppose, and it's to take that long-term view. You know, very often we take a short-term view of raising children, but if we can look at it as taking the long-term view of them being men in time, it makes it a much more healthy, positive parenting process as well.
Mm. And I mean, our job as parents then is to raise boys with a view to the fact that these are going to be men.
Yes.
And make a man out of them, if we can put it that way.
Yeah.
And they need to have the good called out of them, and they need to be taught to be honourable, and they need to be respected by their peers and their elders. That is a need that they have.
All of us need at some level to know that we're needed. The interesting thing about boys is that something within a boy causes this value and the sense of this importance to come not so much from what he is as from what he does.
And this is what you as a parent can do, is to give your son age-appropriate challenges, because that'll stretch him. He needs to be stretched and helped to overcome those challenges, even to learn to fail and to learn that failure isn't the end of the road. These are the things that you can teach a boy that helps a boy become a man, because it's in his nature to want to go out, succeed, overcome, save the world, change the world, etc. That's in his nature. That's in his character.
The reality is that they'll actually challenge themselves anyway. If we don't provide appropriate challenges, they may not know what an appropriate challenge is, and boys will actually push themselves and challenge themselves in peer groups. So, you know, that's important to know as well, that it's so within them that they'll just go on and find a challenge anyway.
And what a mother and a father can do for a boy is to discipline his power and his potency in ways that are productive, so that he learns to be self-disciplined. Isn't that really helpful to a boy as he becomes a man?
Discipline's a very important trait. We can recognise that in many ways. But are there other important traits we need to bring out in the maleness of our sons?
For boys, the acceptance by peers and elders is actually very, very important to their sense of well-being. And the calling out of the good in boys by men particularly, who will bring them into their company, teach them how to, you know, build things or play a game or participate in various things that brings them into a man's world, is actually very valuable to a boy. And if he's not given that, then he's somehow at the loss of the opportunity maybe to develop as a man.
Yeah, that's very interesting, really, because boys, I mean, we all need to see things being done. And if they're not in an environment where they have good role models, of male good role models, to encourage them within, you know, bringing out, as you say, the good or bringing out the best. Mm. And if they don't have good role models in males to see those things, then they're quite isolated and it must have a huge impact on them. And even, I know you said there a few minutes ago that boys need men to rear them, or I can't remember exactly the point you made. But
really to draw them out into a male world.
Yeah, but the beginnings of that is that they need a mother as well. They need the caring.
Mm.
That has to be there first. Mm. Mm. There's no point in drawing out if something hasn't gone in first.
Mm.
So that's where the balance of the female nurturing and caring element as babies, you know, is hugely important if they haven't had that either.
Mm.
So it's getting that balance, I guess.
Yes, I'm sure we can all think of examples that are out of balance. Glenn Stanton has some more insight on how moms and dads think about raising boys.
Think of your 7-year-old, okay? You're out on the soccer field. He falls down and he gets hurt. And you've seen him. I mean, you know something's not broken. The mother instinct is to run to him quickly. The father instinct is to say, let's see how he's doing. Cutting the apron strings is a bit of, you know what, let's see if he can pull himself together by himself. And the moms are out there like, no, that's my little boy. He's hurt. I've got to go to him. You know what? You don't necessarily have to go to him. And that's a bit of the cutting the apron strings, is to send those little messages. Son, you need to kind of stand on your own a bit. The dad, in that sense, needs to be the one that draws the boy into masculinity, draws the boy into manhood. If you will, it's a carrot and stick thing. The mother is more the stick to move the boy away from the security with mom, and dad needs to be the one to draw the son in. No little boy ever went healthily into manhood by being shamed by his father or being scolded by his father. He needs to be invited in.
Hmm, a lot to think about for sure. This is family.ie and episode 3 of our series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. We need to take a quick break now, and when we continue, we'll turn our attention to raising girls, and they'll look at a few very practical ways we can understand what girls need most in order to become healthy, secure women. So don't go away, and keep in mind that if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion at some point, our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, that's by text, 086-251-6886, or radio@family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. If you just tuned in, we're in the midst of episode 3 of our 4-part series, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Our discussions are based largely on the book of the same title by Glenn Stanton. You can find more information about the book and other resources to help your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Before the break, we talked about some of the unique needs of a boy to develop into a confident man. Back to today's discussion now with Stephen, Heather, Marie and Ger.
There seems to be a huge amount we could discuss here about boys, but we need to talk about girls as well. So what are the kind of things that girls need most in our parenting roles?
Sociologists have a name for this, one sex having influence over the other. They call it social control. And the stronger social control across cultures is nearly always exercised by women over men rather than men over women. It's just across cultures. It's an interesting fact. Women naturally have power over men. Isn't that right, Ger?
That's what you're supposed to say.
Well,
Sorry, Heather.
That's okay. But what are the genuine female...
I'm just stunned.
Yeah.
What I'm discovering here is my inability to resist what you've just said.
That's my natural power over you.
Yes.
These female qualities, I'm going to list a few now, are largely universal for women in all cultures. And I think that's the thing we want to remember. This is not some kind of a sort of Western idea or even some kind of an Americanism that's coming out here. This has been proven to be across all cultures.
And as we describe some of the characteristics here, and therefore realizing that, say, if we've got a daughter, We want, insofar as this resides in her, to draw this out in her and to develop and nurture it in her. That these are the sort of things maybe that are more inclined to be in her as a woman or a coming to be a woman than was in our son, for example, who was growing up to be a man. And these are part of the womanhood characteristics and nature that we can see being developed, that we want to develop in her. But boys don't have them in the same way that girls have them.
That's right. And it doesn't make them less valuable or more valuable. It's just different. It's what we talked about, the uniqueness. And one of the things that I think is quite interesting is the first in the list, and I don't know that there's any significance that it's the first in the list, as girls don't want to see themselves as victims. They want to see themselves as capable. And if ever we were in a society that had women proving how capable they are, it's today. I mean, women are rising to the top levels in management, and the glass ceiling is gradually, I think I'm right in saying, getting a bit cracked, if not smashed altogether, as women see themselves and prove themselves to be extremely capable. And one of the points that unconditional love and affirmation of both mom and dad produce the confidence in women and help them to refuse to become victims. In our country's changed over many years, and women have been the victims in the history, a lot of men's putting them down, really.
The sort of natural aggression of man.
Well, exactly, yeah. but used wrongly against women. And women have risen above that and said, no, actually, we're not going to be victims here. So I think there's a balance there that we need to teach our daughters, and we need to teach our little girls how to be capable and confident in society without swinging to the other side and always trying to prove themselves. Because actually, women don't need to prove themselves. They are as they are, and they're born to be beautiful, wonderful creatures, highly capable, very confident in the main. And they don't need to go about proving that. They just need to be.
Even as a society, you know, we need to view young girls, young boys, as capable and competent, boys or girls. But it seems girls seem to need adults to view them like that more than boys, because boys will take that anyway upon themselves, whereas girls need more nurturing around that to be seen as competent and capable.
You know, as we talk some of the characteristics of a woman, her influence as a woman is so powerful that she can change the world.
She can. And it's interesting because in the same ways we found that boys were aggressive because of their hormones, girls have this caregiving and they're less impulsive, and it's to do with hormones. The comment here is that the hormone serotonin saves us more in car insurance than nonsense.ie ever could. And I think that's very interesting, because the increased level of serotonin in the female brain is what is moving your daughter towards being less impulsive than your son. The higher levels of oxytocin in a girl's brain will also drive her to caregiving. So we're talking about a physical difference here between boys and girls. Now, not all girls will respond and all become nurses and carers and all the rest of it. But there is something in the physicality of a girl that gives that a tendency towards that. That little example of the little girl and the fire engine, which I thought was a brilliant little story. Brenzadine explains it. She says, this isn't socialisation. This little girl didn't cuddle her truckie because her environment moulded her unisex brain. She was born with a female brain, which came complete with its own impulses. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Girls and women want to make a personal difference to others. They want to impact people, while boys and men want to impact situations. Now, we can all see both men and women who have impacted the opposite way. So it's not a case that boys can't impact people, otherwise all of our leaders would be wasting, our male leaders would be wasting their time. And it's not a case that girls can't impact situations. Of course they can, and some of the fine women in the world have enormously changed situations. But we're talking about the hardwiring here, the natural tendency. And girls and men will, along the line, pick up all kinds of other skills that will work with their natural tendencies.
And one example of a powerful woman Heather just mentioned is Dr. Julie Slattery of AuthenticIntimacy.com.
You know, if we think about femininity over the last several decades, particularly within the Christian culture, I think there's kind of a stereotype that women are supposed to be weak. It's better for them to be weak. And we've had this kind of reaction to that, where now there's this emphasis on power, and girl power, woman power. You know, and there's a way to play that out in a very biblical feminine way. You know, I even start to realize how much power God has given me in my home as a wife and as a mom. You know, Scripture says that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears hers down, and that speaks of great power.
I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that women have tremendous power indeed. Well, at least no one on our team. You're listening to Family.ie. We need to take another quick time out now, and we'll conclude today's programme in just a moment. By the way, this is only the third episode in our four-part series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Again, you can find more information about the book at Family.ie. You'll also find more information about Dr. Julie Slattery's organisation called Authentic Intimacy and many other resources to help your family thrive on our website. Again, that's www.family.ie. We've talked about some of the unique needs of boys and girls so far. One thing we haven't touched on is the need of girls to talk. We'll find out what Heather and Marie have to say about that after the break. Maybe getting them to stop talking about it would be the real challenge. Seriously, there's more to come about that, and you might be listening so far thinking, well, this is all well and good if you have mum and dad working together, but what about those who are going it alone? Maybe you're a single parent, or maybe you're not a parent at all, but you still have the responsibility of childcare. You'll want to stay tuned for the final segment of today's Family.ie right after this. Welcome once again to Family.ie. This is episode 3 in our series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Stephen, Heather, Jer and our guest today, Marie Doherty, have been discussing some of the evidence-based research from around the world. In our previous segment, we mentioned a few of the unique qualities of girls, and now we did say at the beginning that some of this material may be a bit controversial in today's day and age. Here's Dan Stanton.
This is an interesting thing. When I was doing the research for the book, I went and talked with a lot of different women. Women here at Focus on the Family, secular women out there, journalists working in New York and Washington, D.C. And I asked every woman this question. And before I started the research, I expected to get pushback. But I asked the question, respond to this statement, a woman deep down in her heart really wants to be taken care of. Respond to that question. Not one woman, not the conservative Christian woman or the very ambitious leftist, more liberal women, took exception with that statement. They said a woman does want to be taken care of. And she learns, first of all, how to be taken care of by her father. There was a woman here who said when her father passed away, it was sad to see him go, but the biggest, most difficult thing was she said, I am now not the most important girl in a man's life. She wasn't married. See, she had to have that to know that I am important to a man. And not that she depends on the man, but that's the woman's wiring, is to be important to somebody. And she gets her security from that.
I think that's really very, very important. And even as a four-year-old girl, she will crave the attention and the affirmation of her dad. She won't do it consciously, but it's part of her being to be affirmed by dad. We didn't talk too much about girls needing to connect earlier, but they really do. In the last program, I didn't really get to talk about that, but that's one of the huge needs for girls. Girls need to talk. Here I'm doing it, you see. Girls
need to talk. No. We're all listening, Heather.
Well, girls will talk whether you listen or not, because they really want to talk. Everybody needs to communicate, but girls tend to do it by talking. Isn't that really interesting? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of jokes about women talking and all the rest of it, but it's part of who we are.
When you look at boys and girls being raised by men and women, you realise that a mother can bring so much to a daughter that the father doesn't even, he doesn't get it, he doesn't see it, it's not in his wiring.
Yeah, but on a funny side of that, I mean, if you're living with a house full of girls, it can be a right pain in the neck if they're all talking all the time. So you have to value that this is really important, that they're allowed to talk, you know. So you have to see the practical challenges that all this causes to parents when you have chatterboxes or when you have girls always wanting to talk or they're more emotional. Mm. But actually it's valuing their need to actually do that. It's not to be viewed as something negative, which it can be, you know, because you can say they're a pain in the neck, they're always talking.
And hence all the jokes about women who never shut up talking.
But I suppose it's to value it, that it's something they need and it's part of who they are and look at it as a positive sense.
It seems to me that their growth and development needs the constant input of their parents, and the parents need to be initiating and affirming much of what the child is growing into. The child has the capacity to grow into it, and we need to learn to engage and bring all of this forward. boys need affirmation of their growth and development, and girls also need affirmation of their growth and development. And again, the research is showing that significant people, the children have in their lives, like a father or a mother, seem to be the people they choose to do this. So we can't get away from it.
I think we should also just say here that sometimes father or mother is absent, mm-hmm. either willfully or through illness or death or whatever it is. And that doesn't mean that all is lost. Other men and women can have huge impact in people's lives. I remember speaking to a woman one time and she said to me, "But I'm not a mother." And there was a huge sense of loss I could detect in her voice. And I said, "You know, you can be a mother to somebody else's child. Somebody else's little boy or girl needs another mother." And she looked at me and she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Have a think about which friend of yours maybe has to work an awful lot, maybe has a lot of pressure in her life, has a son or a daughter that you could be that mother." So there are other adults, significant people. We need to remember that people can be significant in your life without being your mother or your father. I mean, ideally, you might say a nice little home with mom, dad, boy, girl, and it's all working perfectly. Mm. And how many of us can put our hands up and say we grew up like that? Very few. But there can be other significant people that can fulfill those roles. And God, our ever-present Heavenly Father, of course, really wants to be Father in our lives. So maybe we just need to just kind of remember that in the conversation.
A good male role model and a good female role model in the life of a boy or a girl can be invaluable to giving them a sense of identity for who they are and what their destiny is and what they can become. Because a great mother figure, as you've described, or a great father figure, even if it's not their own biological mother or father, can call them out into womanhood or manhood and make them magnificent.
I think that's true, because when I look back on my growing years, there were several people who had different types of influence at different times. Mm. And some of them were my supervisors at work. Some of them were my teachers in school. Right? Sometimes it was my dad, obviously my mom. But they were different people at different times. And the impact they had, it was like tick boxes. Sure, you are whom you are. And they were like affirmations.
Mm. Mm. And accepting you for who you were.
Accepting me for whom I was and acknowledging it and affirming it. It wasn't there all the time. It wasn't there for everything. And I think that was a society we grew up in. But as Heather, you've pointed out, the information we have now helps us to make better decisions, better choices. And I'm sure there are resources available to all of us who have influence in children's lives. If we want to grow old in a better world, we need to learn and apply these things. So in our next program then, we'll be talking about making healthy men and women from boys and girls.
We will indeed. You've been listening to family.ie. We hope you found today's discussion helpful in raising the future men and women in your care. Don't forget, there are loads of articles, resources and tools to help your marriage, relationships and family thrive at www.family.ie. While you're there, you can find more information about this programme series, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. This has been episode 3 of our 4-part series, largely based on the book by Glenn Stanton. The book is available in our online store, and of course, if you purchase it from us, you're helping to support the ongoing work of family.ie. We are a registered charity, and we really appreciate your support. But while you're online, you can download free audio copies of this and many of our other radio programmes at family.ie. You can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, find out more at family.ie. So on behalf of Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, I'm Ronan Johnston. We invite you to meet us again right here next time. Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families.